for three for the win. Yes!
This is the Bay of Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the special Friday the 13th edition of the Bay of Day Podcast, where tonight I'm going to give you my ranking of all 12 movies, and I'm pretty sure you're gonna fucking disagree. Now, before I jump into that, I just want to knock out real quick the new segment that I introduced on the last episode. Or if you don't know, I got one of those posters that you hang on the wall that has the scratch-offs. There's 100 different movies on there, and I found one that leaves it a mystery because a lot of them keep the title underneath it. This one's a complete mystery. I found one, I put on the wall, and I figured I'd scratch one off every new episode, watch it, and kind of give you a talk about it. First one I did was number 27 on the poster, which was Django Unchained. You want to hear that? I gave a brief review on the last episode. What was my last episode? Oh, a V for Vendetta episode. Yeah. And this week, I had my girl Anissa pick a number for me. She picked number 67. And this movie ended up being kind of throwing me off because this is supposed to be like a bucket list type poster. Like 100 movies you should see before you die type of thing. And number 67 was the movie Dodgeball. Yeah, Ben Stiller, Justin Long, Vince Vaughn, great cast. It's a great movie, don't get me wrong, it's fucking hilarious. You got the classic Ben Stiller over-the-top character. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. You know, that guy. But it's just, they added this movie to the poster. Of all movies, Dodgeball makes it on here, so... So that was interesting, but it was fun to watch Dodgeball again. It's been a minute since I've watched it. So, that was a good time. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into the Friday the 13th rankings, because there's 12 of these motherfuckers. And I've been kind of reading up on different podcasts and like the rules and stuff for podcasts. And when you're solo, they suggest that you only stick it to about, oh, not very long. Not over an hour like the old Outsiders episodes used to be. Because nobody wants to hear the same voice for an hour, especially one with like a speech impediment like I have. With this lot of stutters and uhs and ums and mumbles. Yeah. I'm working on it, but yeah, I understand. So I'm just going to cut right into it. At number 12, my least favorite one,
Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday.
Yep, Jason Goes to Hell. We've reviewed this in the past in The Outsiders. It's a shit show. I mean, come on. I used to actually defend this movie a lot in the past, because when I first saw it, I didn't think it was too bad for some reason. And, you know, there's some fun kills and shit like that, but just the whole logic behind it, the whole storyline, the theory of Jason and all the supernatural bullshit, and then just never really even having Jason in it. It's, I mean, because, like, they go, Kane Hodder. Well, Kane Hodder's in it for, like, 10 minutes. He's in it twice, though. He's in it as Jason, and he's one of the security guards that gets killed, so that's fun. But, yeah, with the Duke guy and the whole family lineage bullshit, it's not very good. So that is definitely my least favorite, without a doubt. So yeah, go to hell, Jason. Coming in at number 11 is
Friday the 13th.
Oh my god, it's the original Friday the 13th, as I have stated many, 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 many times in the history of this pod, both Outsiders and Fay All Day. Okay, even at our Dumpsty Awards last year, I gave it the Lifetime Piss Joke Achievement Award as one of the most overrated movies ever, of all time. Now, like I've stated before, I am grateful for this movie because it did give us a nice, fun slasher franchise of one of the greatest horror icons ever. I can even admit that, and everybody knows I'm not the biggest Jason Voorhees guy. You know, I'm a Freddy guy. But the movie itself, I mean, for one, right off the bat, I'm just going to say it. Everybody's being punked out by an old lady. Like, I know some of these kills are kind of, you know, surprise. Oh, she caught him off guard and killed him. But then there's other ones where you're going face to face with this old broad and they are just going out like bitches. And I don't get that. It's an old lady. Fucking dodge her stupid little weapon. Because she never uses a gun or anything. It's all hand type weapon shit. And knock her the fuck out. I mean, come on. But, and there's nothing really special to this movie. I mean, we have Kevin Bacon, which is awesome. But that's one of the biggest things that bothers me in this movie, too, is his death. Because a lot of people love the whole spear through the throat. But I think that looks stupid. Like, Tom Savini is a great makeup artist, special effects artist. Deserves to go into the Hall of Fame if there ever is one for something like that. Deserves all the accolades that he gets. Okay? I'll make that clear. But this effect right here, it looks like shit. I mean, look, you can see where Kevin Bacon's head, real head, begins and where the prosthetic begins. Because they didn't blend the color at all, and it's just clumpy, and it looks bad. It doesn't look good. I'm sorry, it doesn't. That's not why I hate the movie. It's not that fun. I mean, you got the kumbayas at the beginning, you got your generic slasher moves. There's not really anything fun about these characters, really. I mean, they did give us Strip Monopoly. That could always be fun to play. But then again, I hate Monopoly because I fucking suck at it. So I would definitely be naked. But like in the final girl, like I said, she can't stand toe-to-toe to Betsy Palmer. I mean, she finally does by whopping off her head. But no, I mean, it's a boring, slow, dull movie to me. But thank you for spawning off this great franchise. So at number 11, the original Friday the 13th. Now coming in hot on number 8 is
Friday the 13th, Part 8. Jason takes Manhattan. Now, New York has a new problem.
Jason takes a boat. I mean, Jason takes Manhattan. Yes, number 8 is Part 8. Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Or like I said, takes a fucking boat. Great marketing ploy. Like, they did a great job on that. That's why the movie did show have some success. Because they're like, oh man, Jason's going to terrorize New York City? Fuck yeah, let's do this. I want to see him marking all up and down Times Square whipping some ass. No, it's him on a boat most of the time. And then he finally shows up in Manhattan for a brief time, and it's mostly in alleyways and stuff like that. There's the one shot of him walking through Times Square. Other than that, it was Jason Takes a Boat. It was fun, though. I mean, it's not the worst. Obviously, it's number 8 out of 12. Yeah, that was a stupid comment. But, oh my god, this has the second best opening to any Friday the 13th movie. With that, just that pure 80s song with this loving Manhattan sequence going on, like showing different shots of the city that's not really positive. It's showing, like, you know, junkies in the alleyway and shit like that while this groovy 80s theme song is going on. And this one is Teleport Jason is what I like to call it. Where he teleports a lot in this one. Dude's climbing up the pole trying to get away from him. Jason's up there just like bam, boom. And he just goes from one end of the boat to the other, just appearing out everywhere, teleporting from one room to the next. Jason teleportation, for sure. Teleport Jason. There you go. Trademark. Just kidding. Because it's stupid. But yeah, let's see. I mean, what else was there? We do have the great boxing match. Which, my God, am I obsessed with boxing these days. But you'll find that out later on in another episode. But yeah, you have the bare knuckle dude on the rooftop boxing the shit out of Jason, which the kid's an idiot. He should be doing some more body blows instead of doing bare knuckles to his mask. I mean, come on, bro. And he damn near gets him. He gets him close to the edge. He should have just kept on swinging, hitting his fucking solid mask. But he didn't. And then now it's finally Jason's turn. And one good old hook. I don't know if it's a left hook or a right hook. But takes off his head clean off. Just down into, was it a dumpster? Or no, it wasn't a dumpster. Yeah, it was in a dumpster. And then it ends up on the cop's windshield or something like that. I don't know. But that was a cool scene. I dug that. Even though there was even a sound editing blooper in there. Where you have the sound effect of him punching the mask, and it's the little thump, 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 and then you get the body shots, which sound like body shots. But there's one instance where he actually does a body shot, and it does a thump like he punched the mask. Pay attention, it's in there. But yeah, didn't really care for this one overall. I mean, I didn't really care for the whole ghost Jason thingy-ma-bobber in the mirror. That was stupid. What was that? I'm learning that I don't like supernatural bullshit involved in straight up slasher flicks. They don't go together for me. But you had that. You did have the cool video camera dude that wanted to videotape everything. Even when he's like looking for Jason, he's videotaping everything. Like he was ahead of his time. He was ahead of his time, knowing that found footage was gonna be a big thing someday. So kudos to you, my man. But yeah, the cinematography, where they're doing the whole little swaying with the camera to make it look like it's going with the waves of the motion of the boat, that got nauseating at times. And like I said, the teleporting and shit like that, okay, I mean, yeah, that happens in slasher movies, but it's still ridiculous to me. So yeah, number 8 is part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Now, coming in at number 9 is
Friday the 13th, part 3 in 3D.
3D Gag City, bitch. Yes, part 3 in 3D is coming in at, what the fuck number was this? Number 7? Number 9? Number 8? Number 9. Oh, I'm an idiot. So, Jason, part 8... Takes Manhattan. Oh, let me backtrack. That's at number 10, not at number 8. So that came in at number 10. Man, I'm already fucking up my countdown. Number 9 is part 3. Holy shit, Batman. I'm almost as big of an idiot as Shelley in this movie. That dude was a jackass. I mean, he wants everybody to feel sorry for him, have sympathy for him, but then he pulls those stupid jokes. Those practical jokes, the boy who cried wolf bullshit. That's not going to get you any sympathy. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you when you constantly act like a jackass like that. Just saying. But I did like a lot of this movie. Like, they purposed, like, the whole biker gang added that just for a higher body count. The whole running at the convenience store. Which I also liked at the very end. The black man comes back, but he gets the Scatman Carruthers treatment. Where he's like, I'm going to be a hero. Nope, I'm dead. So, they did, the 3D gags really got fucking annoying in this. When you're watching it in 2D, I mean, I get the selling point of it for 3D. And while, now obviously, naturally, I have the Scream Factory box set. But I don't have a Blu-ray TV. Or not a Blu-ray, a 3D Blu-ray 3D TV. So I cannot watch that version. Though I can watch the normal red and blue old school 3D glasses version, because I do have that one still too. But anyways, in 2D, it's fucking stupid, the 3D sight gags. And they were terrible at hiding strings, because I understand they wanted the whole pew spear gun. Pew! I don't know why that made me think of what it was called. But the spear gun, you can clearly see the string that the spear is going down, and it goes to the dude's eye, and then you can see the rods that push out the eyeballs, and then they didn't do a really good job of hiding some of their special effects in this movie, which, I mean, it is what it is, I guess, but damn. This was when we first get the mask, thanks to Shelley, and his little practical jokes, but I wonder why he picked the hockey mask of all masks that he could have picked. But good on you, man. You launched the an infamous mask that everybody can sit there and look at it and go, yep, that's a Jason Voorhees mask. No matter how off-brand or generic you go, you don't go hockey, you go Jason. I do like the wraparound with the siphon gas, too, with the biker gang. You see them siphon gas, and the lady almost gets away with it, but then she runs out of gas. But this actually gave an explanation as to why the vehicle was just out of gas, instead of just being out of gas. So that was a nice little added touch to it. But other than that, I mean, the characters were a little more fun in this one. I've seen this one too many times, because for some reason I only owned Part 3 for the longest time. I don't know why, but I did. Which I'm glad I held off, because this Scream Factory box set is pretty sweet. But yeah, coming in at number 9, right? I got it written down. Coming in number 9 is Part 3. Holy shit. All right. Now, coming in the real number 8 spot is just out of this world. Number 8 is...
What the hell is that?
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, wow.
It's been modified.
Oh, you think?
You guys might want to run.
I don't think he's out there.
Why don't you just stick your head out and have a peek?
Jason X, a.k.a. Jason in Space. Yes, one of the many horror movies to take its way up into space, like Leprechaun and Critters and Hellraiser. I mean, my boy Freddy hasn't, because he ain't a bitch like that. He ain't got no space. But yes, Jason X. First of all, fuck yes, I'm killing David Cronenberg, the overrated directing bastard he is. Fuck you, Cronenberg. Take that spear, bitch. No, I respect the man. I just don't give a shit about his movies. Whatever. But yeah, good old David Cronenberg at the beginning. Spear, chucked her. I don't know. Fuck him. Fuck him. But this was the first Jason movie that I saw in theaters. While I was new, I've seen random Jason movies, you know, that they've randomly re-aired during like Halloween time or on Friday 13th, yeah, at local theaters, drive-ins, so on and so forth. But this is the first one I saw, like, in its opening weekend. Good old Jason X back in 2001, so I want to say I was 16. Yeah, probably 16, because it probably came out. I don't remember what month it came out, but I was either 15 or 16. But anywho. Now, this very much has a sci-fi channel original vibe to it. Not just because it's in space, but just the way it was filmed. And their fucking piss-poor dialogue. And the CGI. It was straight up sci-fi original movie vibe. Which isn't all bad. I mean, because there's some good sci-fi originals. Just saying. That's the vibe I pick up when I watch this movie. Now, it does have cool kills. I mean, one of the fan favorites is the flash freeze kill where he dumps the bitch's head in the little flash freeze sink. Pulls it up, she's all frozen, and smashes her head into the counter, explodes all over the place. You got dried flash frozen blood face smashing. Yeah. And I like the trailer. Like, I just played a clip before. The trailer had me hyped before this movie came out because it had, you know, Drowning Pool's bodies just playing in it. And you got to see a look at the Uber Jason, the modified look, which is still, to me, to this day, is still a cool look. I enjoy that modified outer space Jason look that they did with him. And the trailer had me hyped. I went and saw this with a couple friends. It was a good time. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is a fun movie. I mean, we're entering the movies that I do really, really enjoy. Like, this is another one of the franchises to where I can watch all of them pretty much, except for, like, oh, Jason Goes to Hell, Friday 13th, I'm good without. Part 8, it's fun with friends. I take Manhattan. But other than that, I mean, I enjoy the rest of these movies, like, a lot. So when these are still ranked where they are, doesn't mean I don't like them. And I really love Jason X. Very fun. I love galactic sci-fi shit. I'm a big Star Wars guy, so I didn't have any problems there. It's just that there's some areas where, like I said, I mean, the dialogue's awful, the visual effects are awful, the score is awful. This probably got the worst score of all of them, the worst modified score to try to give it more sci-fi feel to it. It just didn't work. So yeah, coming in at number 8 is Jason X. Evil gets an upgrade. Alright, now coming in hot at number 7 is in fact...
Friday the 13th, part 7, The New Blood. Opening Friday, May 13th, the deadliest day of the year.
Boom, I got it right this time. This time it is, in fact, number 7, part 7. New Blood. Yeah. Right off the bat, what's up with the name Tina in horror? You got Tina in this motherfucker. Motherfucker. Boy, my redneck roots just showed a little bit there. But you got Tina in this. You got Tina in Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street. You got a Tina in all horror. There's Tinas everywhere. Tina, 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 Tina. Was that just like the hot name in the 80s or something? I don't know. But the infamous sleeping bag kill is in this one. Which is good enough to put it in the number 7 spot. That is a good kill. Even though I kind of like the homage to it that they did in Jason X that I just talked about. You know, the movie Jason X. Where he takes the sleeping bag and the distraction girls and beats the fuck out of one in a sleeping bag into the other with the sleeping bag. You know what I'm trying to say. Fuck me running. I have a problem with speaking the English language, and here I am doing a podcast. Holy shit. But yeah, he's got one chick in the sleeping bag. He's slamming it into the other chick that's in the other sleeping bag. That was in Jason X. This one is where he just takes it and swings it into the tree. It was a great kill. Holy shit. God damn it. Why do I do these things? I don't know. Because it gives me something to do. Anyways, thanks for tuning in to the Failed Day Podcast. This... I appreciate it, and I hope you stick around for some more. Can't promise they're going to get any better, because they're really not! Anyways, part 7. What is my favorite kill in the franchise, anyway? Bringing up the whole sleeping bag kill. It's probably the girl, axe to the face, not axe to the face, but like, butcher knife to the face in the wheelchair, Mark in the wheelchair in part 2, which we'll discuss, because we haven't brought up part 2 yet. It's coming up later in the countdown. That's probably my favorite kill in all the franchise. I don't know why. I think it's the whole rolling backwards in the wheelchair thing. But anyways, part 7. On to that. The nerdy chick in this. She was hotter before she got the makeover. Like, she didn't think that she was attractive. And then she got the makeover to attract the boys. And then she got killed. So, that was pointless. But, yeah, I mean... She's probably my number 2 out of the Jason chicks. We'll just call them that, the Jason girls. So I don't know. I just don't like her generic hotness. I like them unique, but and I'm pretty sure she's at number 2. I like them a little nerdy like that. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we got the zombie Jason. This one, it's got the cool look. I do like that look, but I mean, it is a straight up zombie. In a Jason mask. With the exposed spine and then his face that you see when Tina's battling him. Which this does have one of the greatest battle scenes too in any of them. Like the big finale. The big showdown between Jason and Tina. And she's got the telekinesis bullshit. And it's a good battle. And it's when we get Kane Hodder for the first time. Who brought life into the character. And he's my third favorite Jason. My God, I just say that. And if you've listened to the show before, or listened to the Kane Hodder episode, you know what my first two are. And I'll tell you as the show goes on anyway. But yeah. Part 7. It's fun. It's got some good kills, good looks. The flow of it's a little off for me. That's why it's not higher up. But I do enjoy it. So coming at number 7 is part 7. Thank you very much. We are halfway down. Coming in at number 6. Well, I just happened to have mentioned this movie. Coming in at number 6 is...
Friday the 13th. Part 2.
Yes, as I just mentioned, my favorite kill is from this one, coming in at number 6, the halfway point, Friday the 13th, part 2. featuring the good old butcher knife to the face, to the little homie in the wheelchair, and roll down backwards. I don't know why I find that kill so fascinating, but I do. And it's, yeah, I think it's got to be my favorite kill, for sure. I haven't really thought too hard about that, because, I mean, there's a lot of unique, different types of kills throughout this entire franchise. But that one really sticks out to me, and I really like that one. And this one just has a Stone Cold Fox in it. Terry. Yeah, with the crazy eyes and the nice-ass body. I mean, she kind of had a bubble butt, which is rare for white women in the 80s. But, yeah, the girl that plays Terry, she was a tasty treat. For that. That's one of the generic hots that I do like, you know. But her love interest, she actually should have been more casted as, like, a brother instead of her love interest. Because they look too much alike. They both have the crazy, like, witch eyes. And they could have been brother and sister. But instead, they were a love interest with each other in this one. And I found that to be kind of weird. I really thought that this should have been Terry and Scott. Scott was his name, yeah. They could have done something other than them two being a love interest. Something that bothers me and why this one lands in the middle is I don't really care for the potato sack. I'm glad that only lasted one movie. The whole potato sack head bullshit. Didn't really care for that. And good thing for the actors, too, because I remember hearing a story. I can't remember who played fucking part two Jason. But I remember hearing him talking about, hey, you can't see fucking shit because you only have that one hole. And it's a bag. It moves around. So it's very easy to not be able to see a damn thing in that. But yeah, and then they do the weird little thing at the beginning to where we just watched in part one the final girl survive and reign supreme. But then she dies in the first 10 minutes in part two. And this movie features the first time Jason was played by a female. Yes, at the very beginning, those legs that you see are a female's legs. Somebody's wife on set or something like that. But yeah, But when Jason is in the neighborhood at the very, very beginning, those legs right there are women's legs. So technically, Jason has been played by a female. Always thought that was kind of a fun little fact there. But yeah, wheelchair kill. Jenny with a G, which I think that's cool that they didn't even spell it like that in the credits. But Jenny's probably one of my favorite final girls, too. Because, one, she's a good actress. Two, she's not a dummy. You know, she was very smart with the whole, it's your mother, Jason. Do what your mother tells you. That whole routine that she does when she puts on the sweater. And she just wasn't stupid. And she's an attractive woman. I mean, you can never go wrong with attractive ones. But yeah, like I said, what puts this in the middle, though, it does get dry and slow. And the potato sack. But then what balances out on the good side is that it has one of my favorite final girls. One of my favorite kills. And it is, like I say in all of them, and I'm going to say them on the rest of them, a good time. So coming in at number 6 is Friday 13th Part 2. Didn't have any catchy add-on names to that one. But let's see, coming in at number 5 is what they thought was the end, but it really wasn't. And that is
Friday the 13th. The final chapter. Friday, April 13th, is Jason's unlucky day.
Yeah, they weren't even close on this being the final chapter. Because it was part 4, and like I said at the beginning, there's 12 of these motherfuckers. Well, I mean, maybe 11, depending on how you feel about it, certain movies and stuff like that. But I'm doing all 12 that's in the box set. But yeah, the final chapter, part 4, is coming in at number 5. God, see, that's why it's confusing, because it's part 4, number 5, number... So yeah, I'm coming in on number 5 on my ranking list is part 4. This one gets pretty high up there for one reason and one reason only, and that is my man Crispin Glover. The dude was fucking great in this movie. From the whole dead fuck conversation with his boy to that classic dance scene that he does And he should have got a much better kill in this. He got a shitty fucking wine bottle corkscrew bullshit death. Didn't really care for it. Deserved a lot better. But yeah, he's fucking great. There's also great lines in this one, like dude at the hospital getting the shit scared out of him. I think he says something like "Holy jumping Christmas shit" or something like that. That's a good one. Which I can never work in a morgue. I can never have a job where I have to handle dead boobies. No, thank you. Yeah, but Crispin Glover is the reason why it's up there. And then they had the cool death at the end of Jason, where the machete goes in his face and then his head slides down. Great practical effect, but you can still tell there was like mechanics and stuff like that in it. So I'm with everybody. Practical effects, yes, that's the A-OK number one. But I wonder if you guys feel the same way, but I'm okay with doing something practical, but then cleaning it up with some digital. And then like maybe a little extra blood, or like I said with the eyebrows and stuff, and how mechanical they look, they could smoothen those out a little bit. So I think it is okay. In my opinion, it is okay to blend both practical and CGI together. Obviously, they couldn't do it then. I'm not saying that they should have done this because they didn't have CGI then. I'm just saying, like, in modern-day movies now, instead of just going flat-out CGI, they should do practical with a little digital effect to kind of highlight it, remove it, whatever they need to do to make it more smooth, more clean. But, yeah. Coming in at number 5 is part 4, the final chapter. Cracking in the final 4. Coming in at number 4, which I'm sure many of you should think that it should actually have been closer to the bottom of my list. Like, as in, like, the out of the worst. And number 4 is, in fact...
Hey, I'm not from around here, but I'm looking for my sister. She's gone missing. Have you seen her?
She ain't missing. She's dead.
Yes, it is in fact the remake from 2009 coming in at number 4. Now, again, we've done a past episode of The Outsiders where we talked about the remake. And so I won't get too much into it, but I mean, I love this one. I love the nice, long, like, 20-minute cold opening. It's fucking great. I love the wielding of the machete from that during that cold opening. Fucking great. Derek Mears is my number 2 Jason. Because I loved his performance. I love how he kind of puts more human back into Jason and puts more emotion back into Jason. Not just, everybody's like, well, Kane Hodder put some life into Jason. I mean, he did the, you know, big deep breaths and stuff like that, but he never really humanized Jason like Derek Mears did. To where there's, you kind of almost see emotion in the face, even though you can't see his face. But, I mean, Derek Mears crushed it. I love that he runs a little bit in this one and stuff like that. And then, of course, how can you go wrong with perfect nipple placement Brie? I mean, she did have perfect nipple placement. Okay. Jesus, I can't fucking talk! Anywho, yeah, coming in at number 4 is the 2009 Friday the 13th, the remake. All right, now we're down to the top 3. Coming in at number 3 isn't even Jason.
Friday the 13th, part 5, A New Beginning.
I mean, come on. Ooh, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby. Shit's great. Part 5. The one a lot of people shit on because it's not Jason Voorhees. The fuck ever. It's fucking stupid. It's still fun. You still get a man in a Jason fucking getup. And this movie probably has like the best characters. Like the best, in a collective way, has the best characters in all the franchise. You got that great scene with the old brother and the enchiladas. Oh shit. And then you have, you know, you got Mama, yeah, and Junior, they got me, Mama, they hurt me, Mama, that fucking idiot. That's fucking great. It's got the cop from Ready to Rumble. Yeah. I'm a Ready to Rumble fan, so I had to throw that in there. But, and it has my number one, my numero uno Jason chick crush. And that is Violet. The dancing, grooving chick, always listening to the music. Who didn't get a very good kill, unfortunately. And there wasn't enough of her. And I don't know what it is about her. I don't know. Because, I mean, if I want to do the whole standard, like, hotness chart or whatever that people look at, she's clearly not probably the top one of all the chicks in all the Friday the 13th movies. But for me, she does it for me. She's my number one. She's my numero crush. Numero uno crush for show. And so, yeah, there's just so many things to love about this movie. It's just people shit on it because it's Roy, not Jason. Roy, the man seeking to get revenge for people who killed his son at that same place. Chopped him up with an axe. Which they got the dude that chopped him with an axe, so it wasn't really revenge. And why he does the whole bald cap and dress up like Jason and do Jason's fucking little calling card is beyond me. But hey, I don't care because it's a fun movie. I dig it. I dig Roy. I dig Friday 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. And that is why it's coming in at number 3. Coming in at number 2 is, in fact, Long Pause.
Friday the 13th, Part 6. Jason Lives, rated R.
Starts Friday, August 1st at a theater near you.
Jason Lives! Which is the title that they had to make because you fans like to bitch and moan when they take away your favorite bad guy or whatever. It's just like it's a repeat of Halloween franchise. Halloween 3 happened, people boo-hooed, even though Halloween 3 is amazing, people boo-hooed because there was no Michael Myers. So when they did the Part 4, they made sure that they put in the title The Return of Michael Myers. Same instance here. Number 5, A New Beginning. Didn't have Jason. It was Roy. Boo-hoo. Armageddon, even Jason. Even though it was a dude that dressed like fucking Jason. But anyways, here comes Part 6. They had to add the title, Jason Lives. So you know that it's Jason fucking Voorhees. Now this one, it's number 2 because it's fun from beginning to end. From the James Bond opening, where, you know, where he walks into the circle and then does a little slashing motion. So the way they brought him back to life with lightning. And the way they just had fun with this movie the whole entire time. Never took it serious. From, you know, the little zigzagging through the maze shot. My favorite scene in pretty much the whole franchise, really. Is the big old long scene at the RV. With, what was his name, Court? And his chick. For where he has to last 17 minutes throughout the song to have sex with this chick or however long that song was, to him driving like a bat out of hell and his girl's falling all over the place, to Jason grabbing her and smashing her face to the little fucking wall, like the aluminum wall or whatever, and then Jason causing the big wreck and standing gloriously on top of the RV, played by my favorite Jason Voorhees, fucking CJ Graham. He was just, because he added on to this one I call, you know, the more Saturday morning cartoon Jason. And he was quite animated himself. And I met the dude, and he's a swell guy. He's so swell that I even use the word swell. He's a swell guy. Cool guy to talk to. Sense of humor. And yeah, his Jason was fun. The utility belt Jason. He even had a fucking utility belt. It's a Saturday morning cartoon, this one is. And this is what I think a Friday the 13th movie should be. So that comes in at number 2. And to top off the top of my list. Now notice I said Friday the 13th movie should be. But this is part of the box set. And it is, in fact, no bullshit, coming in at number 1 on the Fay All Day list. And that one is, in fact,
Freddy versus Jason. Place your bets.
That's right, motherfuckers. I went there. It is, in fact, my favorite Jason / Friday the 13th movies in the franchise. And I think it counts in the franchise. If you don't, then you can just look at Part 6 as number 1. But my real number 1 is, in fact, Freddy versus Jason. For one, it's got my dude Freddy in it, my main man. For two, I just have a lot of memories of this movie. I saw this movie 4 times opening weekend, twice on its opening night. I was just so giddy like a little girl to see Freddy back up on the screen. And it involves Jason. And this movie is fun. I don't know why this movie gets shit on so fucking bad. From the great soundtrack that it fucking has, to the awesome kills, like the dude in the bed getting folded in half, and the great battle scenes in both the dream world and the real world between Freddy and Jason. You even got some kung fu in there, of course, because you got Ronnie Yu directing it. Who also Bride of Chucky, and you can kind of get the vibe that is the same director. But, I mean, you even got Freddy doing some high kick kung fu type bullshit, and Freddy was whipping his ass. Freddy won that fight. I don't care that his head was in the hand of Jason at the end of the movie. That does not mean he won, damn it. If it wasn't for those meddling kids, Freddy would have won that fucking fight. Which he did. He won the fight, damn it. He won. The fucking kids beat Freddy, all right? But Freddy beat Jason, and this is my favorite Jason movie. Because Freddy whips his ass. And it's just got a lot of cool stuff in it. It's fun from beginning to end. I have a blast with this movie. Sure, there's probably some problematic areas, some loopholes, some shit that just probably wouldn't consider good to a lot of people. But to me, it was a great time. And Freddy vs. Jason is by far, easily, hands down, my favorite in the entire franchise. Now, I'm sure a lot of you disagree with me. And if you do, go ahead and let me know what your ranking is, how wrong I was, which areas I was correct on in your opinion. But with that being said, happy Friday the 13th, everybody. And also, happy holidays. It is November. The holiday season's coming up. Which, you know, in December, you know, I'm going to cover all sorts of holiday movies. The holiday horror and just regular holiday movies. Why the fuck not, huh? Because I'm not just strictly horror anymore. But next episode is going to be probably, if I don't just randomly decide to do one before then, probably won't be dropping until November 28th. November 28th because that is the big fight night between Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. Beat it up like Rocky Balboa. Speaking of Rocky Balboa, that's what I'll be doing on. So dropping on fight night, I'm going to be ranking Rocky. Yes, another ranking show. Because you guys have told me you like it. I like doing the rankings. I'm ranking the entire Rocky franchise, 1 through 8. So hopefully you look forward to that. And after that, it's full-fledged holiday movies from horror to shit. To, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. So yeah, please tune in for that. Thank you for tuning in to Friday the 13th. Like I said, let me know what you thought. And yeah, hopefully your Friday 13th goes well, if you listen to it on this day, because I know not everybody listens to it on the day that drops. So I hope you had a good Friday the 13th for the ones that are listening to it afterwards. But there you have it, my ranking. Hope you enjoyed it, even if you disagreed, because most likely you did disagree. I have been Andrew Fay all day. Thanks for hanging out. Check you later. Late.